this celebration in the context of my own feelings and ideas about it. I must say I will have to get a little bit used to sitting on a cloud being moved by the law of gravitation. It's a very good idea. So floating. I think our whole situation in our ISKCON is floating, so this is a very good poetical analogy which you have put together. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nittinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Garadha Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This whole adventure or Vedic adventure, which is to a journey from the conditioned state of existence back home, back to Godhead, can be compared with a journey on top of a ship. Srila Prabhupada often used to quote this verse, Nrideham Atyam Sulabham Sudhulabham. It's from the 11th chapter, and it says that the human form of life can be best compared to a well-constructed boat, which is meant to take the soul to the other side of birth and death. On this journey, the spiritual master is like the captain, and the favorable winds which are required to bring the boat to the other end are the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only someone who is of a suicidal mentality will miss this rare opportunity and not proceed in this journey. I think at the present moment we live in a world which can be compared to a stormy ocean. We are aware that all the devotees here who have come today to Goloka Dham are going through different situations. The storms of doubt, the storms of bitterness, the storms of disappointment have blown many of our devotees who once were so determined and sure, and they are struggling. The boat is going through stormy periods. I know this. Many expected it. And I personally think it is good because it brings us to deeply question our motives, our convictions, our goals, in our mission in life. This is required. If you are on a journey, you need to always correct the course. Winds come and bring the boat, push it here and push it there, sometimes come from the front, so that sailing is difficult. Here, on this journey of our lives, we can also expect rough territories and areas through which we can only come if we fix our goal very strongly before us, if we very strongly desire to come to that place, which when we have once reached it, we will never leave again. I'm speaking of the spiritual world, which Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, the place. If we have once reached it, we will never come back again to this world of birth and death. Now, if we want that the boat travels nicely, then we all will be confronted at one stage or another in our journey with the question if we have really lifted the anchor. You all know there is a very nice story which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to always tell. It's about the bridegroom's party who wanted to reach Shantipur at an auspicious moment called Shubhalagna. Shubhalagna means an auspicious moment. The marriage had to be performed at an auspicious moment, which at this time was, in this case, was around 6 o'clock in the morning, if I remember. It was very early. There are marriages which have to be done very early. Otherwise, it is not good, according to astrology. So the bridegroom's party went into a boat in the evening and told the boatsman, please row very hard, because next morning we need to be in Shantipur. When the bridegroom's party woke up in the morning, however, they saw that the boat had not even moved for 1 meter or an inch. And when they looked for the cause, it was found out that the people had forgotten to lift the anchor. The meeting of the bride and the bridegroom could never take place because the anchor was not lifted. In the same way, we all look for that auspicious moment in our life, that Shubhalagna, where we can meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it will only be possible if we have lifted the anchor. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, lifting the anchor means, very simple, to follow the four rules and regulations, to chant the holy name, to perform services, and so on. But as we advance in Krishna consciousness, lifting the anchor may mean other things. Things which are more private. Things which only we know about. Things which have to do with our stubbornness, which lasts for many lifetimes. Our stubbornness to take to the auspicious path of Sharanagati, of full surrender unto the Lord. And we might find that lifting the anchor is not only a one life's affair, let me say a one time in a life affair. That is, when we join to Krishna, the spiritual path, and when we ready ourselves for the sacred initiation into this path, we may find out that lifting the anchor is an ongoing process. It is something which has to be repeated and which becomes more challenging and more intense. This is an experience which we have. Now, it is only possible for us to again and again be ready to lift the anchor. If we are very convinced that we can have that Shubhalagna, this auspicious moment in our lives of meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While thinking a little bit what I would discuss in this lecture, I was reminded of my stay this year in the holy land of Vrindavan during Kartik time. And Kartik time is a time that the greatest, let me say, spiritual wonder takes place. That is where the souls meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Rasa dance, the circle dance, as the scholars say. And there is a very interesting discussion which takes place before the gopis meet Krishna. Krishna has called them on his flute. Srila Prabhupada describes that the flute song of Krishna is like a powerful wave or wind, and the gopis are like dry leaves which are moved in this wind. So they have all been moved by the flute song to arrive in the full moon night in the forest of Vrindavan. And Krishna starts to test them. He said, "My dear girls, it is not good that young girls meet a young boy in the dead of night. You know this is not proper." The gopis go like, "Oh no. First he calls us, he brings us here by his flute song, then he says it's not proper." And they start to look in the forest like this. "Oh no." Then Krishna jokes with them. He says, "Oh, now I know why you have come in the forest. You want to look at the beautiful trees in the full moon night. But you can do the sightseeing from anywhere. Why come here?" And so on and so forth. And then the gopis tell him of something which is very, very beautiful. "O all-powerful one, you should not speak in this cruel way. Do not reject us who have renounced all material enjoyment to render devotional service to your lotus feet. Reciprocate with us. Our dear Krishna, as an expert in religion, you have advised us that the proper religious duty for women is to faithfully serve the husband's children and other relatives. We agree that this principle is valid, but actually this service should be rendered to you. After all, O Lord, you are the dearmost friend of all embodied souls. You are their most intimate relative, and indeed, their very self." Here, the point is so nicely made that Krishna is the soul of all souls. We really only have one relationship. That is a relationship between us and the Supreme Lord. In this world, we think of many relationships. Relationships to friends, to relatives, in families, family relationships, relationships between enemies and us, and so on. There are many different relationships, but here we are informed that in reality there's only one relationship. And it is important that this Shubha Lagna comes. Shubha Lagna means a point where we have the auspicious union. Madhu Mangal, are you here? Kannst du bitte mal kommen? We are talking about one relationship at the moment. And then it goes, expert transcendentalists always direct their affection toward you, because they recognize you as their true self and eternal beloved. What use do we have for these husbands, children, and relatives of ours, who simply give us trouble? Therefore, O Supreme Controller, grant us your mercy, O Lotus-Eyed One. Please do not cut down our long-cherished hope to have your association. I find this is a very beautiful shlokas from the Bhagavatam, which really explain to us how necessary it is to become aware of our one relationship, of our relationship to Krishna. We cannot go on in Krishna consciousness if we do not feel the presence of Radha and Krishna in our lives. It is not possible. It will be very hard. It will be very intense. You will be able to make many endeavors, and those of you who have strong nerves will go on longer than those who have weak nerves. But ultimately, everyone needs to feel that relationship. And if we do not feel this one relationship, we will go for so many relationships in the material world. And this Shubha Lagna, this most important meeting, does not take place. Remember the story where the bridegroom was on his way to meet his bride in Shantipur. He had all his friends with him on his boat, but it was not, the meeting was not successful unless they actually came to Shantipur, which in this case never took place because the anchor was not lifted. In our lives also, we may have so many relationships. We may have so many things which we do in our lives. But unless it comes to this auspicious moment, there will be disturbance.
Hare Krishna.
So a devotee must always in his or her life become aware that there is only this one relationship really, and think of how to again and again be courageous. Courageous heißt mutig enough to lift the required anchors on the way so that we make the journey to our full satisfaction. If we don't do this, we will miss the essence of the Krishna conscious life, and we will become dissatisfied after some time. The auspiciousness in one's meeting with Krishna starts, according to our philosophy, with the first meeting before that meeting. It's the meeting with one's spiritual master. I would like to draw your attention to the meeting of Srila Prabhupada with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which took place in the year 1922. Srila Prabhupada was initiated into Krishna consciousness 11 years later, but he says that in this first meeting, the seed was implanted in his heart. That is, his determination to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his life. He gathered the determination to become a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching mission during this first meeting. Srila Prabhupada had to go through many tests before he could actually fulfill this mission in his life. It was not easy to go to the West. Even on the boat, as he was journeying to America, he suffered a severe heart attack. He describes that at that time Krishna wanted actually to take him back home, back to Godhead. But Prabhupada said, "No, please, I have not yet done my mission. Krishna who really wanted him to be back, said, okay, then do your nonsense. He was not happy. He wanted him to be back. I think it was good that Krishna allowed Prabhupada to do his mission, because in this way, my own Shubha Lagna means the auspicious hour in my life, could come. There I was meeting Srila Prabhupada. I would like you to tell you a little bit, because this is a birthday celebration, and it's a, I will have a birthday, and it has a little personal note. I want to tell you that in my life, before Krishna consciousness, I remember very strongly that I always had a great longing to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I lived a life which all Western people know, a very ignorant life, and I remember I was turning to God at that time, in my understanding, in times which were difficult. I remember the first time when I was very young, I would always look at the stars in the night when I couldn't sleep. I had a room next to a garden, very romantic. I was looking out at the room, and looking into the stars, and it was very clear to me that there was a God in control of the many different stars and of my life. I would pray every evening, my dear Lord, if you are there, and I know you are there, but please give me a sign that I can come back to you. Later, when we were becoming young, we became a little bit influenced, well, very influenced by our environment. I remember we somehow developed a strange liking for being moved in our children's soul, if you want to say. I very much liked strong emotions, and therefore as a child I was always looking forward for the Saturday night program to look at movies from America. And there were sometimes movies which were shocking us, and I could not sleep in the night afterwards. And at that moment, when I was so afraid, having seen these movies, these impossible movies, I was turning to God and say, please, save me. This is not the life. I want to be moved by you, not by movies. It was very clear at that time, and I was very often praying that something would happen. Then when I became young, I did all the things which people in the West do. I was no exception, very much in the mode of ignorance and passion. But sometimes I would just stop. I would go to the ocean with the bicycle. I would sit at the ocean, and I would get tears in my eyes, and I would cry, really. I know you are there. Why are you not showing yourself to me? It is not fair. I'm wanting you. I do not want this material life. I was really crying. I was going very deep. This longing and longing and longing. But nothing was happening. Only some books here and there, which gave some ideas. Only some Western religious traditions which tried to give answers, but it was not moving the heart. Then I remember for the first time meeting my spiritual master, and it was in the form of his vani, his transcendental instructions. I picked up a Bhagavad Gita, and I was reading the purports of the Bhagavad Gita, I mean the verses and purports. And what I saw immediately when I read Srila Prabhupada's purports, I saw two things. He is someone who's very sure that God exists, and here's someone who has very detailed and concrete informations about God. And then here's someone who very boldly and very directly states this is a way. And I was very moved at that time when I read the Bhagavad Gita, because I knew this was attracting me in the deepest course of my heart. I knew from the reading the book that there were answers to many of my questions. I must say I did not really understand much of the philosophy then, but somehow I developed the Shraddha that if I just learn the philosophy and the thought a little bit and get in contact with this wonderful personality, Srila Prabhupada, then I will understand. It feels right. This is what I knew at that time. It was not easy for me to meet Srila Prabhupada. I was going to school when he came to London, which was as close as he came to Germany. I was in the midst of the school, and somehow we were trained that that you must go to school. The whole environment, my parents, my relatives, somehow had convinced me that it's necessary to go to school. By now you know me. Not so convinced of such things. Knowing Prabhupada is here, but I was going into school, and I was already, all the teachers knew about me that I didn't like school and that I was a rebel, and they gave me a hard time and I gave them a hard time, and it was a tense situation, a real tense situation. I thought what to do if I move out of school at this time. Maybe I will never be admitted again, and then my life is spoiled. My future is spoiled. Everyone was telling me, don't move now. Be very careful. But then I decided, no, I have to meet Prabhupada. And I went to London and saw him. And I was very much moved by the depth of his personality. I remember I was very much like a young bhakta. I wanted the personal attention of my spiritual master, and I was standing always before his window. And sometimes I saw him looking out of the window into the streets of London, and his eyes went right through me. There was something which I would call in my language eternality in his eyes. As he was standing at the window, he was clearly transcendental to what was going on in London and to what was going on in my life. And I very much remembered at that time, please, I know that you know God. Can you please give me a sign that I can be admitted into the circle of his servants? And this sign actually came during Srila Prabhupada's birthday celebrations, his own Vyasa Puja day in London. I do not want to talk about this here in detail because I have talked about it earlier. I put a question to Srila Prabhupada, a challenging question, because I wanted to have a response from him, a real personal response to me. And he gave it. He destroyed with his answers many of my insecurities and attachments to material life. I hope they are destroyed. And he pulled me towards this direction. I still remember very clearly that he pulled me. He had to pull me because I was very much entangled with the Western life and with friends and relatives and so on and so forth. And it was impossible for me to imagine myself walking this spiritual path of Krishna consciousness in the direction of back home, back to Godhead. During that time, I was very frustrated with my life because I knew that it was a lie. I knew there was I was not the controller, although I posed to be a rebel against society. I knew I was firmly under the control of my environment and the circumstances. I didn't know that it was karma which controlled me, but I knew there was something, strings on my limbs, which moved me about. I was always thinking, if I can only break out of this illusory life. I remember I wanted to even make a movie. It was about a boy who was in material life and who would always, he would say a mantra I didn't know at that time, but some magical words, and then he would move out of the picture, move out of the film into another reality. I was looking really for Krishna consciousness in my own little way. And remember, there was the town of Hamburg had the money ready to produce that movie, but at that time I met Srila Prabhupada. And it became clear to me, this is what I want. This is what I have been longing for since my childhood. And now there's the answer. But it was still very, very difficult for me to imagine giving up that life which I wanted to give up. And I must tell you very frankly, if Srila Prabhupada would not have applied his Karshani Shakti, his pulling energy, he would not have captured my heart somehow and pulled me out of the world. I do not know, I do not even want to think about it, what would happen. Then, as I joined in Krishna consciousness, I soon went through many tests because the devotees with which I stayed were from a different social background than I was coming from. And there were many clashes between my own understanding and the understanding of the devotees, between my own habits of what's right and what's wrong and the understandings of the devotees. Just alone to take a cold shower in the morning was almost the reason why I couldn't go on in this path. And devotees had to, they said, we take every morning a cold shower. I said, but this sounds adventurous. They said, and we expect everyone in the temple to do this also. You know, sattva gun, it's important. He said, okay, I'm young and no problem. And we rose at 4 o'clock. And at that winter, we didn't have any heatings. We didn't have enough money for paying the heat. So we went in this, and there was this bathing tub. We had gamshas, and the water was flowing into the basang, and we would have to take the lota and put the water over us. I wanted to do it, but it was not possible. It was too cold. I was not accustomed to this practice. People used to take... Anyway, it's not interesting. The other habits were with warm water, the bathing habits. And I remember two devotees had to physically hold me, and a third devotee had to make the bathing because it was... My nerves were revolting so strongly, I was almost jumping out of the bathing tub, you know. It was, anyways, I knew I had gone for a great adventure. I wanted to go over the ocean of material existence in the spiritual world, and I was going to tolerate the cold shower, no matter what, even if two people had to hold me. That is what it meant. So, I remember... because I knew a little English. Those who know English will laugh, because even now my English is not perfect. You can imagine what it was when I started in Krishna consciousness. It was very amateurish. And the devotees told me, you are fit to translate the Bhagavad Gita from English into German. A task which I embraced because I thought the Bhagavad Gita is the book. It had actually pulled me towards Krishna consciousness. If I can translate Krishna's words, that's the perfection of my school, which I had interrupted by then. Krishna. Now I must control my thoughts a little bit. But I think it's good if you know a little bit of my history. So I did translated the Bhagavad Gita, not very well, but whatever I could, I did. Then I went on Sankirtan. During the first times of Sankirtan, we had no cars. We had to go by trains and so on, take the books with us and distribute. For many years I did this, and I stayed very often at the houses of hippies, and was very attracted to preaching Krishna consciousness and distributing it, until one day the devotees requested me to stay back in the temple and translate. And I also did this. So then I did some after translation I did some preaching, and I'm still doing the same service which I have started after 15 or 20 years ago after translating. That is going and trying to help people to pull out of material existence and start the auspicious path of Krishna consciousness. Then, and I want to end here, something came the most difficult period in my life up till now. It was when all of a sudden we received the news that Srila Prabhupada had left the planet. We were prepared for this theoretically. He had told us many times, and we were doing 24 hours kirtan to help him sustain his health, which was very poor. He was on his deathbed. But, my dear devotees, when the news came that he actually had left us, I almost lost my mind. It was so difficult. For one whole week, I could not sleep. I was moving through the place, which is called Schloss Rettershof, like a ghost. Devotees who saw me were afraid. What is happening to this young boy? I was always very young. I joined very young, and they always were very affectionate to me because I was so much younger than everyone else. They had never seen such a thing. I could not cry even. I was just tensed, and I was so desperate. I thought, now my life is finished. I have joined Krishna consciousness only because of Srila Prabhupada giving me assurance and pulling me out of this. I had managed to stay in Krishna consciousness only and only because of Srila Prabhupada and his different instructions, which came at different times in my life in a very glorious way. And now my Lord and Master was gone. He had left me. And it was indescribable. And I will not try to describe it, because this whole... you would see that if I go back into this time, it is still dangerous. I would become so sad that the whole festival would be under this impression of this sadness. It was very, very difficult at that time. This is all I want to tell you today. Then, after many years, I was doing my services, but my mind was somewhere else. I remember I was sometimes, even 1 year or 2 years after his disappearance, I was so disturbed that, imagine, for 1 year, I ate only one apple a day. I could not eat. It was too much. Nothing worked any longer. Nothing felt right any longer. And at that time, I was praying very strongly. I said, I will not be able to go back to God. I will not be able to function in my spiritual life like this. If this goes on, I don't know. One apple a day keeps the doctor away, they say. But if it's only one apple, then it's too much acid for the body. It's not healthy. It calls the doctor. I was praying to Krishna. I knew on the long term, I couldn't stay in Krishna consciousness, couldn't stay even in this body if this would go on. And I was so much praying to Krishna for an answer. And then Krishna sent this answer in the form of a discovery, which I would like to share today with you. The discovery is that I discovered that Prabhupada had not left me. I discovered that he was present in an invisible form, which we call Vani, and you know what this is, in the form of his instructions. This is not a theoretical concept. It works in practice. When one concentrates on the orders of Srila Prabhupada, then one can feel his transcendental presence because he is an extraordinary personality. He is not like me, who is his disciple and who is trying to hold fast at his lotus. He is a Mahabhagavat, a personality who was sent directly from Krishna. He didn't need to be pulled out of material existence, although in his humility he describes his meeting with his spiritual master in a similar way, that my spiritual master saved me. He says like this. But Srila Prabhupada, this became clear after this time of shock, had the possibility to stay together with oneself if one wanted his association, if one wanted clarity, if one prayed for him. It was a question I soon began to find out. If my heart was really in tune with Srila Prabhupada, if I really did not have any other motive than trying to understand him, it was not always easy for me because his personality, he was a very strong preacher, and I'm very sensitive by nature. I always thought I must, this is my first meeting, the first point of meeting the Lord is meeting his pure devotee. I must go through this. And then I will be able to meet the Lord one way after one time at a future auspicious time, and who knows when Krishna wants this, when he wants to have me back. Yes, this is what I want to share with you. You will see when we have our disciple meetings and our lectures. Right now I have only talked Krishna, Nityananda Katha in my lectures, but soon I want to present a concept which will be new for many of you. It is an old concept. I want to speak a little bit about our glorious Sampradaya, our Srila Prabhupada as the one who brought this in the West and who fulfilled a long desire of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Here I only want to say that I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada somehow or other. I can only imagine that Krishna must have heard my prayers in my childhood. And when I came in contact with him, something began to open up. A path which was covered since many lifetimes became full of light and very clear to me, so that I could follow this, the path chalked out by the Vani of Srila Prabhupada, and which is given by Madhvacharya, Vyasa, you know, Krishna, Narada, you know, Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Shukadev, Suta Goswami, Madhvacharya, then Rupa, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti. began to understand in my life that if I would be connect with this transcendental sampradaya, this tradition, this spiritual culture, then I could be saved from despair and from doom and so on. And this discovery is so wonderful. It is so much enlivening me in my own spiritual life that in the days which will come, I will speak about this. Here I only want to give a little speech, and I have maybe spoken a little bit too long already. Please excuse me. Something which is in my heart. Let me summarize. The human form of life is a boat through with which we can cross the stormy ocean of material existence. The spiritual master, the captain, and the instructions of Krishna are the favorable winds. Before you sits a person who has come in contact with this philosophy and with this spiritual path by the mercy of a Mahabhagavat, Srila Prabhupada. This person who sits in front of you is someone who sincerely wants to go back to Godhead, who is not very qualified, unfortunately, and has many dark spots on his personality. But before you sits someone who has great faith and great, and I would even dare to say, an experience of being saved from an almost impossible situation, from a life-threatening situation, because of this realization that our spiritual line, if one gets connected to it, somehow or other, one can be recharged with transcendental energy. It is my great desire to help all of you be connected with this line. I have understood that my past understandings of me as a spiritual master was to be corrected. My understanding was which had that I could help you more than I feel I'm able to help you. Let me say it very clearly. I can see now, as the time goes on, that I will only be able to help you if I also can connect you with that which I'm myself trying to be connected. That is, this line of vani, which comes through the sampradaya, down from Radha and Krishna to Srila Prabhupada. I feel that my life is only valuable in relationship to helping you all if it is somehow or other possible for me to increase your enthusiasm to connect this line. I have come to see that I'm a very fallen person. I'm not a Mahabhagavata. I'm an ordinary person who likes sitting on a swing when it's birthday. But I still know that this works. Connecting you with this life-giving sampradaya. And I know if you will be able to understand this point, your life will be glorious. You will be charged with transcendental energy, which is very important. So, Hare Krishna, I know that you are now thinking very deeply. What exactly is the point which he tried to make in the end? I want to keep it at this moment like this. I want you to think about this. And in my Sunday morning lecture, I will talk more about this. I will also talk more about this wonderful opportunity which is open to all of us. And I think that you will leave this festival with great transcendental happiness in your heart. Today, you know, when you look around, some of our devotees have dark faces. They are depressed. Something is on their hearts and their minds, and so on. And I heard today that one devotee said, who had one dark-faced devotee, if nothing works, I have faith in Lord Nityananda. This always works. And I think you have noticed that the festival slowly gets some spiritual atmosphere, which is just magical. When we did the Abhishek this morning, we could see that Lord Nityananda really wants to give you his mercy. He is also in this wonderful line or wonderful sampradaya. He's the older brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have so much help, actually, by this, if we connect to this sampradaya. You will be amazed what transcendental energy is here. And we only need to know how to capture it so that our dark hearts and depressed minds will become very happy and very transcendentally enlivened. So with this, I want to not talk any longer. Hare Krishna. I hope this was a little inspiring to you. You can feel that something is coming. He wants to, Sachinandan Swami has something in his mind which he wants to present to us. Yes, you're right. Something very wonderful is there. I hope you will be enlivened and so on and so forth. Let us now start with your own birthday celebrations. I think you have made the arrangements. I hope that this will will be a good arrangement. Maybe at one time we can lower it down to the ground, because when you fly too long on the an airplane, you want to go down on the ground. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.